So we're hitting on two things that I really did want to pick up on this morning, some experience and some of that kind of stuff, the divine word that comes to us in whatever capacity as well. So absolutely. Thank you so much. See, there's wisdom in the room. You guys know it, which is great. So this is our final week of the Little Letters to Live By, 2 Peter. And during the summer, we're going to go back to the lectionary, which is the Church of England's kind of Bible plan throughout the year. We'll be mainly looking at a gospel reading, and also the book of Romans. So I do encourage you to read Romans throughout the summer, so you can pick up where the church picks up on a Sunday if you're watching online, if you're on holiday, or you're here in person. But this morning, the author of this book is the Apostle Peter, as we've discussed, just before his death under the reign of the Emperor Nero. Jesus' people are never to stop growing. That is his theme. He always wants them to carry on maturing in the faith. And his aim of this passage especially is to restore confidence and order out of chaos. Restore confidence and order. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some knocks throughout my life that have knocked my confidence. When I was younger, I used to love football. Now, if you know me, that comes as a surprise, because I don't really like football anymore. And this story is why. Because when I was 10 years old, I was in a club, and it was called Higham Way Club, back over in Hinckley. And after a really nice training session with all my friends and playing in the season, halfway through the season, I was called over by the bosses and told that I was being dropped from the team at the age of 10, halfway through the season, in front of all of my friends, and had to hand back my uniform by the end of the week. That knocked my confidence and put in me a sense of, well, if they don't think I can do it, then I'm not going to try. And so went off football and team sports pretty much forever. And I had to work really hard on what it means as an adult for me to find exercise. And you'll see me running around the village or swimming by myself, but notice I do it by myself so that no one tells me that I'm doing it wrong. So, you know, interesting, isn't it? We all have these experiences that knock our confidence throughout life. And the people in this church perhaps haven't been thrown off a football team, but they've had their confidence knocked by various other teachers and people who are coming in and infiltrating the church and trying to teach something different to the original apostles. And so Peter is trying to restore confidence in his final days of life. And he's longing to give the church confidence that will last into the future, even beyond his death. Hence also why he's writing it down. A secure way of making sure his words last even beyond the grave. But how does Peter do this? Well, there's only 2 points, so don't worry. Number one, verse 16, Peter writes, "For we do not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses to his majesty." Peter's confidence in his own life and in Jesus was based on personal experience. His personal experiences walking with Christ as Jesus ministered on earth. Especially in this passage, he focuses on the transfiguration in Matthew 17, if you want to look it up. It was a sign of Jesus' divinity, but also his eternal glory. So Peter believed what he saw with his own eyes, and he taught it passionately. He spent his life defending the gospel that Jesus was God on earth, despite the risks and the pain that he was going to go through. And now he was even defending that belief in the face of death, confident that he's seen what Jesus is going to look like forever in his eternal glory, and he knows he's going to be with him even after death. This is particularly important when we think about the resurrection of Jesus. This part of the Christian faith was as surprising for those first Jews as it is to us. But as N.T. Wright, a biblical scholar, says, 100 years either side of Jesus, we know of several Jewish resistant movements, messianic rebel movements, and routinely they ended with the death of the founder or a man you followed. The new leader would then be appointed, and or it would die down. That is, except this movement. That is the church. They had the opportunity to walk away. or to appoint a new leader, a new person that they could exalt in Jesus' place, but they didn't. Peter had confidence in his version of events, and he believed it wholeheartedly. And the church he is writing to are called to remain confident because of his true testimony. Peter is confident in the gospel. Number two, Peter's second confidence is placed in something that's been around a lot longer than he and is still around today, the scriptures. Verse 20 to 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin of the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Quite simply, Peter acknowledges that the Jewish scriptures, which contains within them multiple accounts of God's interaction with people, were authored by human beings, but he maintains that the words were inspired by God himself. God has made this written word an authority for Peter and the church so that they can remain confident in the life and message of Jesus. Particularly in this instance, Peter's confident in his message about Jesus using the Old Testament scriptures because of prophecy that was spoken about him that Jesus fulfilled in his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. 2 points of confidence then: personal experience and the scriptures. Now, before we get on to how we apply those things to our life, I did find it interesting this week that someone in one of our churches told me out of frustration that people in our villages aren't interested in the Christian message anymore. That they'll come to events hosted by the church, fetes or concerts or whatever it may be, but Christianity isn't attractive to people in the modern day. Now, part of my job is to stand before you and try and give you confidence in the faith that we share that will serve you this week and in the time to come. So are you ready? Yeah? Anyone low on confidence? When it comes to faith, you won't admit that in front of everybody, will you? This is a safe place. First up, let's explore our modern world and if the Christian faith is really unattractive before jumping into how we can base our confidence on our experience and the scriptures. So the modern day. In the Talking Jesus Research Report of 2022, people were asked to describe Jesus' character and his top traits. All of them were positive, peaceful, a leader, and loving. That's what Christians and non-Christians think about Jesus. And even the non-Christians picked those top three. In the same research, they report that 45% of the UK population believe that the resurrection of Jesus happened in some capacity. 53% of the non-Christian population know a Christian personally. And overwhelmingly, the research shows that non-Christian perception of Christians are that they're caring, friendly, good-humoured. Is that true? And generous. And one of the most important questions that most age brackets still think about is, what happens when you die? Which the Christian faith has answers to. We've already spoken about it this morning. Conservative surveys suggest that 38% of UK residents say they pray regularly. But Tear Fund research suggests that 1 in 2 adults of the UK population pray, especially in a crisis or simply because they believe in the existence of God. Danny Webster of Evangelical Alliance also states that the church is the largest volunteering network in the UK, active in public life, serving every community in the UK. Take away the church, stuff starts to fall apart a little bit. And finally, Lifeway research suggests that globally, Christianity is actually growing, with a 1.17% growth rate, apparently, if you like your maths. Almost 2.56 billion people will identify as a Christian by the middle of 2022, or have done, and by 2050, that number is expected to top 3.33 billion. All that narrative you hear about decline might be true, but globally, we're growing. My point? Well, it's that Christianity has something to speak, has something to speak of, and it has someone to speak of. It has something to say in the modern age. A high percentage of people are receptive. And we live in a world, don't we, that needs hope, goodness, and truth. The Christian message offers hopeful answers to the questions of life, and it offers a rescuing relationship with God Himself. We should then have confidence in our faith. That research isn't enough. Just as Peter was encouraging this church to stand firm in the message entrusted to them, so we should too. How? Well, two hints here. Experience and scripture. This one, though, I've called testimony. We all have a testimony of the impact that Jesus has made on our own lives. We have been shaped by his teaching. We find that the traditions and habits of the church that we use regularly mold us. And we find, hopefully, joy in this good-humoured community that we have here. We've seen with our eyes, haven't we, and felt with our hearts that Jesus can make a difference. I would also suggest to you, being the charismatic that I am, that by the Holy Spirit, God speaks to us and through us today as well. Just as we can see God's cooperation with the people who produce prophecy in the Old Testament, so that his unchanging nature assures us of his desire to cooperate with us today. He cooperated back then, and his unchanging nature suggests he wants to do the same with his people still. We just need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to bring our faith alive and be open to it. So what's your testimony of God's goodness in your life that gives you confidence that Jesus can still make a difference? Finally, the scriptures. Good news for everyone. The organization formerly known as the Gideons writes, Jesus' words show that he believed in its historic accuracy and divine authority. That was speaking of the scriptures. So did Paul, so did Peter. We find in them an account of Jesus' life and teaching, how the church interpreted and lived out that teaching and instruction, and it can still guide us today. It can guide our lives, morals, laws, finances, and more. Michael Green, pastor of St. Aldate's in Oxford, previously said this, God has graciously provided us with a lamb, the scriptures. If we pay attention to them for reproof, warning, guidance, and encouragement, we shall walk safely. The scriptures then are something we can return to time and time again, every week in church, but also in our day-to-day lives. They remind us of the main thing, the primary elements of our faith. To detach ourselves from the scriptures is to detach ourselves from the faith that we've been passed down and that we claim to be a part of. We need to grapple with them, place high value on learning them. That's why we're running the Bible course in October. Do join us if you feel like you need help grappling with the big story of God, and we can do that together and find out how it's relevant for modern life. So experience and scripture. We can have confidence that the Christian message still has answers for the questions of life today. Peter had reason to be confident in Jesus. We too can have confidence in him and should be bold in living our faith out. This is our faith, isn't it? This is the vision that we carry. The question we ask is, how can we continue with confidence to put this front and center in our own lives and in the life of this community? What answers need to be given in this community today? What can God still address? How can the church help? Is our faith front and center? Are we being bold and courageous, confident, as Peter longs for the church to be? Amen.